I want to turn to the book of 1 John for just a moment, if you will. 1 John. And read some words here written by God. Now, a lot of people don't understand that the Bible has one author. Many writers, but one author. Amen. And God moved upon these people to write the inspired Word of God with God's ability to do this, something that no man could ever do. Chapter 4 and verse John, 1 John. Chapter 4 and 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Amen. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everybody say those words. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. I would like you to repeat this also. I don't mean to read too long, but I just think we need to hear some of these things. I know I need to hear it again. Say these words. Love is important. All right. And just a little more I'd like to read here. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear. Would you say no fear? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God bless you. Turn to the person beside you and say, I'm not afraid of you. I read quite a lengthy reading there. To end up with these words, have no fear. Jesus is here. Everybody say, have no fear.
Have no fear.
Jesus is here.
Jesus.
And you said to one another, I'm not afraid of you. You know, many times when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, things would happen and people would become afraid. They would be fearful. And, for instance, the wind would blow and the sea would get out of control and Lives were in jeopardy. And people, in fear of their lives, wondered, what are we going to do? And so when they finally came to the conclusion, we must talk to Jesus, Jesus took care of the whole matter, and he would say things like, so why are you afraid? So why do you fear? Jesus is here. There were times when it seemed like they were alone, and it seemed like all the elements were against them, and then here he would come saying, have no fear, it is I. It is I, be not afraid. What we need to find out is, do we know Jesus? And is Jesus abiding in our lives? And if so, is it possible to overcome fear? I know it's part of humanity. I mean, we're all going to have times. I mean, if somebody says boo just right at the right time, you might jump. I'll never forget. I just kind of, you know, sometimes I'd like to talk about things that happened to me. If you don't mind, I'll share this. It's family day, and this is family. But early one morning, my dad was hungry, but I had gotten hungry before him. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I tiptoed through the darkness in our home, went to the refrigerator, made myself a sandwich and got a glass of milk, and closed the door and was standing there in front of the refrigerator, eating my sandwich and drinking my milk. And here came my father to do the same thing, coming toward the refrigerator where I stood in the darkness. I had this thought, I wonder what he would do if I would just poke him in the ribs. The closer he got, the more I was determined to have this little test, to just, you know, an experiment. I just wanted to see what the reaction would be. Because he didn't know I was there. He had no idea that somebody was in the darkness with a plan. And he came right up to my face because I was right in front of the refrigerator door. I could feel him breathing on me. And I said, boo! But you know what happened? It backfired on me. He turned my world upside down. Somehow, everything just went crazy. I mean, I found myself upside down, up against the wall, a fist in my face and a foot on my belly. And he reached up and turned the light on, and we were both lying there next to each other. He said, don't ever do that again. Milk was over here. Bread was over here. There is something out there in the darkness waiting for each one of you. And you may not know it's there, but it's there. There is darkness in this world. And there's something there waiting right in the path where we are going. And somehow, we need to prepare ourselves to be able to handle it when it pokes us in the rib and says, boo. Because it doesn't always do it the way this little devil did it, but I mean, it has its way of slipping up on your blind side. There is a fear that is sort of normal. We all have it at times. I mean, if we hear the tornado is coming our way, suddenly our heart will start to beat a little fast. And these things are normal. I mean, this is part of the human makeup. You know, just like pain tells us we have a problem, we need to do something about it. Well, that kind of fear is a normal thing. But there is a fearfulness that we need to overcome. Because over in the book of Revelation, it talks about this being fearful in the same category as other things such as murderer and different things that will not be able to inherit the kingdom of God. The being fearful state is when you have succumbed to fear, you have given in to fear, you have let fear become your master, and whatever it is you're afraid of, that is what determines which way you're going to go all the time. There are many people who will not become a Christian because they are afraid. But that is something that needs to be dealt with. It would be more in order to be afraid of not becoming a Christian, because that fear, that fearfulness that would cause people to make an eternal decision, or something that could affect your whole family and other members related to your family. That kind of decision to say, because I'm afraid, I won't go that direction, or I won't look that direction. If Jesus literally, if you could see him, if he were to walk up to you in that state of mind, he might say these words, "Fear not. Fear not. Whatever it is that it seems that you will lose, whatever it is that it seems that would be awkward for you, whatever you feel that you may have to give up, I'm worth it. Jesus is worth whatever it is that you have to give up. He has something better for each one of us." Amen. I'll tell you what he has. He gives you the power to be able to handle old Slewfoot when he gets in your way out in the darkness and you don't know what's happening to you. When your mind is giving you problems. When you don't know what to do and life has turned things upside down. And there's news that you don't want to hear on the radio. And you pick up the newspaper and it's sort of perplexing and it bothers you. And you become fearful. Are we going to war or are we not going to war? Is that murderer that's on the loose really in my neighborhood, and will my children be next? What's going on in our world? Why is there so much bad news? And if we're not careful, we will get so burdened and so under the load of, oh my, what are we going to do? Which way are we going to turn? That we will become so fearful that we may miss out on the answer. There is one thing that can happen that will just completely annihilate darkness. Light will take it away. Hallelujah. The Word of God says that people that sit in darkness have seen a great light. Even they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Hallelujah. We're all dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, so to speak. From the moment we're born, we are dying. We're headed to the grave. It's not a pleasant thought, but you might take a look at yourself in the mirror and go back and look at some of the old pictures that you have and start to compare a few years ago with now, and you might notice things are a little bit different. Some of our hair has turned gray, and some of our hair has turned loose. We're not the smooth little baby we used to be. And I have noticed as I grow older that things I once did quite freely. I spent years lifting pianos. Now, I don't have strong bones, and I shouldn't have done these things, I suppose, but somehow I survived it. Driving a truck and putting pianos on and off the truck, literally hundreds, even thousands of pianos. Somehow I survived. Even here in New England, I came to church to start this church in Norwich with piano ability. And I was broke. And I had to do what I could do with what I had to do with. And I had my tools, and we started out with pianos. There are people on this platform that are walking a little bit crooked today because they helped me. I mean, they could take Brother Bradley and Brother Rick and Brother Joe could testify of many times we were in fearful situations. About 500 pianos in New England, we bought old pianos, restored them, and sold them and delivered them. We brought them out of basements. Sometimes we'd have to tie a long rope on them to pull them up a board out of somebody's basement, and we'd tie it to the truck, and the truck would just sit there and spin, and we'd find ourselves up on a scaffold in a snowstorm, and then we'd have to build a scaffold from the truck to an upstairs apartment. But we needed the money. It's sort of like that rabbit that climbed the tree. He had to climb the tree because the dog was right behind him. I thank God we survived all of that. And I still have a few men left. But it could be a very fearful thing. We can get ourselves in perplexing situations if we're not careful. But there have been many times there have been those moments, oh, what if this goes wrong? Or what if that goes wrong? Oh, I hope I don't do something. I know one fella was on the other, brother, I believe it was brother, well, I've had so many accidents with these brethren, but I believe it was brother Mike, I think. He was a big man. He was on the back of the truck, and I was on the ground, and he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes, I'm ready," but I wasn't really quite ready. I was about to get ready. He thought I had a grip on this thing, and he lifted that piano up, and it just came down on me. And let me ask you a similar question today. I use the same words. Are you ready? What's coming down on you? It might be something bigger than a piano. It might be something that you're not quite ready to handle. It's, you know, we can feel that everything is okay, and I'm not here to try to put fear. In fact, the opposite is true. I'm not wanting to scare anybody. But I want you to know that if these words do scare you, there is an answer for you, and you're going to hear it before I get through. There's hope, and I don't plan to go a long time, so don't get scared that I'm going to be long-winded. I'm not going to hold you to midnight. It won't take me long to tell you there is hope. It won't take me long to tell you His name is Jesus. It won't take me long to tell you that there is light that shines in the darkness. There is power to set us free. There is somebody that's stronger than we are. There is somebody who will be closer than a brother and more dear than your own father or your mother, who will always be there to pick up the heavy load and let you be okay. That's where I'm going to end up. But before I get there, let's be afraid just for a second. Oh, what do we do? Well, this is a common question. It's been asked for centuries. You can go into the book of Acts and read that question. What shall we do? The Apostle Paul wasn't always the Apostle Paul. He was known as Saul. If you study the conversion of Saul, when God changed his life from being one who was against these Jesus people, changed him to being one of them rather than against them. You read that conversion, you'll find out during that tense moment when he was trying to figure out who God really is. A lot of people are trying to figure that out. There are so many religions in the world. Many people finally just conclude, well, maybe there's not a God at all. And with all the different ideas and all the different religions and everybody in all the religions and philosophies, they all have a different idea about their own religion. You can't find hardly two people in any church group that agree about everything. In fact, I doubt if there's any church that has two people that agree about everything. I mean, we are human, and one of the most common things in the human nature is we argue, and we fuss over things that we differ on. I don't see it like somebody else sees it. And so, what religion are you? And when we hear somebody say they're this or they're that, then we suddenly determine what they believe in our hearts, and we know what they're all about. But do we? What have you heard about this place? If it was something that scared you, why did you come today? I have a feeling that nobody is afraid of this place today. This is a friendly place, isn't it? But I also have a feeling that some of us heard something about this place before you got here that made you wonder, should I really go? That's possible. I know. If you hear words like apostolic. Is that a cult? are all those pretty hats. Oh, my. That scare you? Or that preacher? That big church building. We had a lady visit us just a few days ago, and she quit. I mean, she came, and she said, I love this church. Oh, I love this church. And then she said, I'm not coming back after she left. She told Sister Sherry Becker, I'm not going back. I love this church. She said, but I'm scared. I'm scared of that speaking in tongues. I'll tell you something more scary than speaking in tongues. It's a gossiping tongue. A lying tongue. A cursing tongue. I hope I don't lose where I'm going because I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to end this. I walked up into a family restaurant, but they did serve, you know, booze and things like that. And I had my two daughters with me. We had just come in from church. And we were on our way home, and this place called the Pizza Palace was just up the street where we lived. And they were open late at night, so we went in there. And several drunk men were sitting on the bar stools. And my daughters and I sat down at a little booth there to eat a meal. And there was this guy sitting there who was saying things that a tongue shouldn't say, in my opinion. I mean, I won't repeat it. You don't want to hear it, and I don't want to say it. But he was saying those words. You know what I mean? I'm not saying Jesus or Lord. That's not what he was saying, except maybe he said Jesus Christ a couple of times. But he would just, one word after another. And we were about to eat this meal, and wanting to eat this meal, and that sort of vexed the spirit that I had just left church, and I had been saying, hallelujah. I had been saying, praise you, Jesus, and having a good time, and a couple of times even lost control of my own tongue, and it did some things I didn't, I mean, it's kind of like my hand gets to going like that when my tongue got to going like that. Just let it happen. It was God working in my life, and it was so beautiful. But I walked in here, and I saw this man and heard him so loud with that foul mouth. And this was when I was a little younger and a little stronger, not long after I came to Norwich, and a little braver, I guess. And I walked over to him, put my hand on his shoulder, and said, sir, would you quiet down a little bit and stop that sewage from coming out of your mouth long enough for me and my daughters who just got out of church to eat a clean meal without having to listen to your filth. Boy, it got quiet in that restaurant. All eyes looked in my direction. And the gentleman at the sitting on the bar stool, he just sat there. And I was standing there with my hand on his shoulder. I didn't know what to expect. My daughters were trying to hide under the table. But I was hungry, and I didn't want to listen to that. And so I just stood there with my hand on the man's shoulder, not knowing what to expect next. And I heard this. I heard this sound. And the big old tears and slobber going all over the place. He just started crying, you know. And he said, of all days to meet a priest, I'm drunk. So I hugged him, told him I loved him. He prayed, and I prayed, and he slobbered. And I got my napkin and tried to clean it off while I ate. I don't know which would have been better, to listen to him or to try to clean myself up. But this world just needs some love. This world doesn't need somebody to point your finger in your face and say, you better do this or you better do that or... Yes, we all have our ideas. We all have our way of looking at things. But there is an answer that's always right. God is love. Say it again. God is love. And Jesus is something that we need to confess in our flesh. When you become fearful, it's a fleshly thing. It's a thing that is in the human nature. But there's something that overcomes that fear. It's called faith. Faith and confidence and trust. I know my Redeemer is alive. I know that Jesus Christ was born, He lived, He died, He rose again. How do I know? Because there has been an experience along the way that has given me the power to overcome fearfulness. Amen. Amen. Because that old fearful thing, it'll cause people to lie, cheat, steal, do all kinds of things. Connive and scheme and try to undermine, and crazy things happen when you start running scared. Amen. It's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of fear. But it's a wonderful thing to fall in the hands of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. See, the human brain, I don't know, you know, if you had to have your brain operated on, you probably wouldn't. I talked to our church people about this, and I told them I have plenty of tools. I have knives, drills, and, you know, if you got a headache, why not let me examine you? I can save you a lot of money. Toothache, they use drills at the dentist's office. I have all kinds of drills. Why pay them all this money? Nobody wants me to operate on their brain. But in all the brain operations I've ever heard about, no matter how licensed or how great the doctor is, I've never heard anybody be able to completely explain the thought process, the thinking. They may know where it comes from and some kind of physical operation that seems to produce things, but that thought process. It's like, how do you put your finger on life? Where is life? I mean, we spend months and years trying to save a human life. Then we lose it. We work on the physical, but there's something that you can't put your finger on. Life. And once it's gone, you know, you hear people say, I'm sorry. There was nothing we could do. I'm sorry. It's gone. You know, I got a lot of friends that I missed during this Thanksgiving weekend. If I could have had my way, I would have kept them around. My father, I miss him so much. But when I heard the news that he's gone, oh, it saddened me. But what that service of a departed loved one, and be willing to listen to things about God, at least for a moment. Wouldn't it be good if we could figure out for sure if this God is real? And if He really is a God who loves us, and that He really can help us? Well, in all of our figuring, we may not be able to figure all that out. But there's something that God has provided. And that's a mind greater than our mind. And a life that's better than that life that we can't put our finger on. He has made us to live forever. But He has given us Jesus Christ. And in His Word, He teaches us that we should put on the mind of Christ. And don't depend upon your own understanding. He teaches us that we should obey His Word. He knows the way that we take. He knows our steps. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. This is talking about people who choose the love of God. People who choose to trust in God. Your steps are then ordered of the Lord. It doesn't mean that you give up your control. It just means He enhances your control with His ability. Hallelujah. You still make your choices. I could still decide I don't want to go to church. But there's something in me now that I didn't have back when I made those decisions years ago. There was time in my life when I didn't want to go to church, and I didn't go. But now, when I don't want to go to church, I go anyhow. Because I got something within me that's greater than I am. I learned how to say no to no. I learned how to say no to no. When something in me says, no, I don't want to. If it's something that my body doesn't feel like doing, I don't always feel like getting down on my knees to pray, and I don't do it all the time. But there have been many times when I just didn't want to kneel down and pray. And I did kneel down and pray. My knees didn't want to bend. But you know, there's something in me that's able to bend those knees when they don't want to bend. And that's the love of God that causes me to realize again and again, He has brought me out of a terrible place. He has made a way for us in the wilderness. He's given us water when we were thirsty. He's given us hope when we were hopeless, and help when we were helpless. He's given us His ability when we didn't have ability. Light in the midst of darkness. A calm in the midst of a storm. A name that we can use to defeat the devil. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is good. He's good. Jesus is good. Now, if you don't believe Jesus is God, at least say Jesus is good. Not that anybody here would not believe Jesus is God. But then there's so many ideas when we say those words. Okay, what part of Jesus is God? Or this part, is the flesh God, or is the spirit God, or is the blood God, or is the bone God, or did God die at Calvary, or who raised Jesus from the dead? All those questions come in. And you can go on the internet if you want to and get 10 billion answers. All of them will be different. Or you could just say, you know, I don't know all about all that stuff, but if I could just find Him, He could set me free. If I could just come to really believe that He is as good as the Word says He is, that He loves me like He says He loves me, if I could just come to that knowledge that I am loved, that I am cared for, that I am watched over, that I have somebody in my corner that wants to help me, that's for me and not against me, if I could just know that for sure, I believe I would let Him help me. Hallelujah! Let me tell you, if you can just come to that point, you don't have to know all about Jesus to serve Him. You don't have to know all of how God became God to serve Him. One thing we do know, we are mortal people who have problems, and we get fearful sometimes, and we have things come from that direction, from that direction, from that direction, and we don't know what to do. We need something to depend on, and what could be better than knowing, or at least believing, that God loves me. God loves me. Let's thank Him for His love today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, I'm starting to get a little hungry. I'll try to bring this to a conclusion. Not that I'm afraid I would starve to death, but but there is something in all of us that says, you know, when I smell food, and when I'm hungry, even if I'm on a diet, I'm being tempted. I went on a 3-day fast once. The two times in my life when I really messed myself up. Once was when I was dieting. I was on a banana apple juice diet. What's wrong with the bananas and apple juice? I mean, for 3 days, all I ate was bananas and apple juice. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but we had a church's fried chicken place right down the street from where I was. And there I was eating bananas and drinking apple juice. Bananas and apple juice. Bananas and apple juice. Well, church, yeah, any of you familiar with Church's Chicken? You ever seen? I didn't know if they had them up here. I was in Arkansas, in case y'all don't know it. I'm from the South, but you know, you can't tell. But 3 days of eating apple juice or bananas and apple juice. There was something about the smell of that Church's Chicken place. So this little thinking process started. And it was like this. It won't hurt. It won't hurt just to get close to it and smell it. So I drove, you know, up pretty near to the Church's Chicken place with my banana and my apple juice beside me. I thought maybe I can pretend I'm eating fried chicken while I eat this banana. I saw people coming out the door smacking their lips and chewing on things that I had enjoyed in the past. Hot, juicy Church's Chicken. Something inside of me started quivering. I had an old white cat during that time in my life that I got up in Canada and smuggled him across the border. But this white cat would get up on the couch in our living room and look out the window, and he'd see a bird, and he would go... He wanted that bird. Well, I was starting to go like that when I was looking at that chicken. So I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to eat any of it. Just smell it. Something said it won't hurt just to get a little bit closer. So I just went ahead and drove into the parking lot. Just to be able to be there, you know, and just witness. I'm going to drink my juice and eat my banana. But I just want to watch these people come out and enjoy themselves. And I got to thinking, you know, since I'm this close, why not just go inside? I wouldn't dare eat any of this stuff because it'll break my diet. I've got to lose this weight. But I'll just go inside and just kind of just stand around and watch. Well, I walked inside and there was a line there that was lined up to the counter, and so I thought, well, it won't hurt to at least stand in line. I can always just decide not at the last minute to tell them I don't want anything, right? So I just stood in line. No harm done. Still on my diet, Elder. Yeah. When I was next in line, the person there said, and I was all prepared to say, no, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to eat any of it. My tongue curled up to say, no, I'm just looking, I'm going to leave. And my tongue got out of control. It said, I want five thighs. Well, I had some extra money with me. I got to thinking, well, I won't eat them. I'll just carry them to the car and look at them while I eat my banana. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I ate the bones and all. Did the same thing once when I was fasting, but I'm just telling you, there's something here. Now, some of you may have gotten close and thought, I'll never get this Christian thing in me. Yeah. But there's something else in you that's been thirsty for a long time. There's something else inside of you that's been hungry for a long time. And you wondered, is there an answer that'll satisfy this longing inside of me? And I can almost hear some of you when the choir gets up here and all these smiling people, they greet you in all these languages. And I understood a little bit of what was said when they came up and welcomed everybody in Chinese and in Russian. And I just wanted to yell out, Mugu Gai Pan. And, you know, it was so pleasant to be welcome here. You know. so pleasant. Now that we've gotten this close, now that we're standing in line, what are you going to say when the question comes, may we help you? And you might determine, well, maybe I'll just take a little bit of it home with me. Do that. I guarantee you, before long, you're going to be enjoying it just like I enjoyed that church of chicken. There's something good about this stuff. Let's stand and praise the Lord. It's nothing to be afraid of. God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I learned that I cannot control my own mind. And I cannot control my own appetite sometimes. So since I can't control something, why not just let God take control? He made us. He knows what we're all about. He knows how we are. He knows what makes us tick. He loves us. He wants to make it possible that we can love Him back. There's no greater relationship, no greater family tie, no greater bond than that bond that can be developed if you fall in love with Jesus. Let Him come in your flesh and let Him help you to say no to the proper things that you should avoid and say yes to God. It would be impossible for us to live for Him without that ability. God bless you, and thank you for putting up with me this long.